Brisbane, Australia. This is episode 43 of The Normal Blokes. I'm Denith, and today's episode will be the first part of our Mensa coverage, and we'll be interviewing Mr. Rory Argent and talking about his win at Mensa. In upcoming episodes, we will be interviewing some other players from the event as well. We weren't able to get them on in time for this one, but we just wanted to get something out for you guys between now and then. But hope you enjoy. All right, so today we've got a very special guest, Vulcan himself from Godhammer Gaming, Mr. Rory Argent. How are you going, man?
Yeah, not too bad. Bit exhausted still after the weekend, eh?
Yeah. Rory had some big games over at Mensa. He came first at the event, going 5-0, an event that a lot of us from Queensland went down to. We had like 12 or 14 or something Queenslanders down there. I think it was like 12.
Well, there was 9 from our group, and then we had a couple of the casual blokes as well. So I think it was 12.
Yeah, something like 11 or 12. But yeah, good, like nearly a quarter of the field, Queensland. But yeah, Mensa, as we talked about last episode, was run by Jeremy Martino. He runs it every year. I went down last year, and it was pretty sick. Today we'll be really going into detail on Rory's games and his run at the event. Was this your first big win, Rory?
First place, yes. Yeah. I also got Mensa's second place last year.
Yes, nice. So back-to-back podiums at Mensa. Rory's been playing locally in Brisbane for a long time, and he's, you know, gone to ATC in 2018, was it?
Nah, 17 and this year.
17 and this year, yeah, 17 and 19. So obviously, long history of 40K. But we're talking about Rory's list, a very unique list. Yes, it was Iron Hands, but it wasn't Three Repulses, and it kicked the shit out of Three Repulses. And we'll be talking about Rory's decisions at the list-building stage and on the tabletop. So, Rory, before we start, tell us a bit about your list and why you designed it and how you came about it.
Well, I kind of went into it thinking, you know, well, Marines are going to be the next big... Well, they are the next big thing at the moment. They are going to be quite popular. So I thought, what would be the best way to counter Marines with Marines? So, of course, you got the generic Stalker bolt rifles. They clean up Primaris like it's nothing. But the main thing I was thinking was, how am I going to deal with repulses? And specifically, how am I going to survive their damage output from stopping killing my damage output onto them? So I was looking at the Moab lists. And Chris Wright, he had... I think he had one Mortis Dread from memory. And I actually really liked the idea of that. And I thought, wow, what if I took two of them and used them as my answer, basically, to the big, scary tanks? Because, you know, who doesn't like 8 las cannons that cannot be shot back?
Yeah, because you put make them March of the Ancients. So just as a caveat, Mensa was before the Iron Hands FAQ, so you could March of the Ancients, you know, multiple dreads, and that was sick.
Yes, it was great. And also, it caught a few people off guard as well that would like charge into them to try and lock them up. Like I know Aaron charged them and Solly charged them. And they have 6 attacks in close combat, strength 6.
Yeah. So they actually can punch on little stuff.
Yeah, so they can. So a lot of those things that try to just tag them up and try and lock them down usually just fall over to them. Or at least can.
Yeah, nice, man. Oh, yeah, because they have 4 base and they get +1 for March of the Ancients. And then shock assault, right?
Yep. Yeah. So that was pretty cool to catch people out with that. But that was my main thought process. And then the other thing was how if I specialize too heavy into killing like this elite army, this like mechanized Marines or well any mech really, and like elite warriors, how am I going to then deal with hordes? Mm. And then that also comes into why my army was designed the way it was, with all the Primaris Marines being in the one detachment and then taking the scouts in the other battalion.
Yeah.
Was so then I could pop Indominus Crusade with Grey Shield. Yeah. So charging into people by using White Scars basically was the idea.
Yeah, it's so, so flexible. Before we continue too deeply, could you run through like your exact list just so people who haven't seen the list at Mensa know what we're talking about?
Yeah, sure. So I had 2 battalions. The first battalion was a Phobos captain and a Primaris lieutenant. The Primaris lieutenant had the I can't remember the exact name of it, but the special Autobot rifle, the Strength 5 one.
Lament? No. Yeah.
It's okay. Strength 5, neg 1, 2 damage, 4 shots.
Is it Primarch's Wrath?
No.
Okay. I'm just talking like an idiot now. You keep going.
So I had them, and then I had 5 units of 10 intercessors with a power sword on each sergeant, and all of them had Stalker Bolt rifles. Then I had 2 Whirlwinds and a Thunderfire cannon, both Whirlwinds having Storm Bolters. Then my second battalion had a Primaris Chaplain and the Iron Father, Feros. 3 units of 5 Sniper Scouts, and then the 2 Mortar Dreads with double LAS cannons.
Okay, so, yeah. Nice, man. So, like you said, you've essentially got the 2 Dreadnought characters. You've got a massive screen of 50 Iron Hands Intercessors, which, you know, you have to get to before you get to the characters. And then you've got, what, the 15 Sniper Scouts and the outer line of sight shooting. So, yeah, like you said, you can fight that repulsor matchup just because it can't get to your damage. And some would think 8 LAS cannons can't kill repulsors, but we'll get to that. But yeah, man, how, and your answers to hordes were really like just punching them on with Grey Shield and the intercessors, hey, and sniping their characters out.
Yeah, just getting into combat, you know, like a unit of 10 intercessors puts out what, 31 attacks?
Yeah.
On the first round of combat? That's a phenomenal amount of attacks, especially with full reroll to hit and reroll ones to win because of the characters.
Yeah, it's really, really nasty. And when it's cool that you've got, you know, Feros, his healing and stuff is good for your whirlwinds and things, but, the dreads and stuff, but he also gives that 5-up invert to the infantry, so you can't, like, dedicate heavy shooting at them and consistently kill a whole bunch, so it's really nice.
Yeah. Well, and also the other thing as well with it being ITC, I specifically made it so that the only things that, because Mark for Death is quite a prominent thing that people like to
you
take.
You gotta tell people what you did with this.
So the only things in my army that could be marked for death were the intercessors and the dreadnoughts. And against some of the matchups, I think one person took Mark for Death against me that I ended up combat squatting all 4 of the marked squads. Mike did it. And then I know Lee and Hayden were talking about it, and he was saying, like, if they, like, forcing me to combat squad can sometimes be a good thing. So Lee took Mark for Death against me again, but I didn't combat squad.
Interesting. Okay.
Because I knew, like, if he's focusing firepower into those units, he's not splitting his attacks from the repulsors.
Yes.
And that means I can pop the strats to make me more survivable.
Yeah, so it's so sneaky. Like, so Mark for Death, essentially, you put it on a unit of 10 intercessors, and then if Rory splits them into 2 with combat squads, you've got to kill both squads. So if you split them up, let's say if you're a melee army, you split your army into halves, you hit one side, you might kill 20 Marines and not get a single Mark for Death point because the other 20 are on the other side of the table. Or you might, you know, be able to move them and tactically position them. Like, I know we had a practice game before Menza, and I think I killed about 30 Marines and I got 1 Mark for Death point. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah,
I was like, what the hell is going on?
And that was like 30 Marines by the end of the game too.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, all going normally, that would have been 2 or 3 Mark for Death points. But no, it's just 1 because the fact you could do that, which is really cool. But yeah, I mean, let's go straight into your games. Who did you play round 1?
So round 1, I played against Aaron Green, another local Queenslander. And he was playing orcs. Pretty straightforward orc army. He had a couple of looters, had a heap of mech guns. I think he had like, I think it was 13 mech guns or something ridiculous. Oh,
yeah, it's 10, at least 10, yeah.
Yeah, with all smashes. And then he had like just a heap of boys, a couple of storm boys and some characters. Of course, the double shock attack guns. So he had all the guns, all the whistles. But unfortunately for him, we actually got paired onto a table that had barely any terrain.
Yep, I know the feeling.
I think there was like a couple of buildings. And when I say buildings, I mean, they were quite small. I mean, a tissue box was probably bigger than these.
It was a Sigma buildings. Table, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. I wouldn't even say it's a Sigma table. It's like an old school Warhammer Fantasy table.
Yeah, wow.
So like it was just like a couple little buildings on each deployment zone, and then like a massive like area terrain piece in the middle. So like it wasn't ideal for Aaron, that's for sure. But you know, he still killed a fair few guys. Really put the pressure on me, and it was a good game all in all. It's actually the first time Aaron and I have actually played, and it was funny that we got matched to each other, because I remember asking him before we went down that I actually wanted to play test against him, because I didn't know, like, that was probably the second or third time I've ever actually versed orcs.
Yeah.
And I've been playing since like 5th edition. And yeah, I hadn't even played like them against them very often earlier than that. So I don't overly know what orcs can do. I have a good idea, but like only like in the way of strats and things like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was funny that we got matched, because yeah, I wanted to play test it, but we never actually got around to play testing it. So it's good. And actually, that was when I first tried out the White Scar tactic as well with the Grey Shield. Yeah. It didn't quite work the way I wanted it to, but I don't think I committed enough in the actual attack.
Yeah, I mean, so you pretty much got 50 intercessors to run up into his face.
Yeah, except I think I only threw about 20 of them at him, because I was like, this should be enough to kill a unit of boys. Except, yeah, kind of just bounced off. didn't work the way I wanted it to.
Oh, you got to be so careful when you're fighting the boys, because the second you leave one or two alive and he's like within mob rule or like just auto passes and they're all back, yeah. It's terrifying.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did that game go? The lack of, you know, places to hide, did that help you a lot?
It definitely helped me a lot more than it would have helped Aaron, that's for sure. But my army was kind of designed in a way where I didn't rely on terrain.
Yep.
Like, at most, all I need is like... Well, actually, I don't even need it, but just a piece of terrain to hide the whirlwinds and the thunderfire, that's beautiful. If I don't get that, like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, but other than that, like, my army is designed so I can literally just play on an open table. But,
Yeah, sick, man. So, I remember I actually played Jez on that table, which, funnily enough, I played Aaron and Jez as well at Menza, both from Queensland, and I've never played them in a tournament before. So I had to go all the way down to Melbourne to play two Queenslanders.
That's the way, isn't it? I played two as well.
Yeah, they're the only two I lost to as well, so it was pretty funny. But all right, game two, mate. You're up with the big win. Who'd you have round two?
So round two, I had Mike Howard. He's a Vic boy. Mm-hmm. He's actually very new to the tournament scene. Like, he was saying, this was his second tournament ever.
Oh, sick.
And like, his first tournament he played in was like 1,000-point, just like little beginner tournament.
Mm-hmm.
He actually had a pretty good understanding of the game. Nice. He actually caught me out in one little play. He actually got kill more, hold more, and the bonus.
Shit.
And yeah, I just wasn't expecting it. But, you know, and he's playing... I feel like if he had an army which was more well-defined... he was playing orcs as well. He had a lot of, like... He was more of a painter, more of a hobbyist than an actual tournament player. So he had like lots of those units that look cool, that are nice to paint. Like, he had a phenomenally looking army.
Nice.
I actually voted him best painted. And yeah, like, great game, great guy. Couldn't say anything bad about him, to be fair.
Nice.
And I really hope you learn a few things from our game too.
Yeah, nice, man. So as you talked about before, game one on Aaron against Aaron, you do seem, you know, pretty confident against the orc matchup, just because you can kill shit, right?
Yes, definitely.
You just churn through it, yeah. So game two, and your game three was against?
You know, he's a bit of a cuck.
He's not. He's not that good. He only came second at Menza.
Yeah, exactly. One of your boys, actually. Oh, Luke Pierce.
Yeah, so Luke isn't able to join us for this segment, but you'll hear him on the the other part of this episode. But yeah, tell us about that game. And for those listening, you know, Luke was playing the triple Iron Hands Repulsor list, the Boogeyman. So how did you handle that, Rory?
You know, look, to be honest, I had a fair bit of luck on my side. Like, a lot of luck. I actually made a joke that, like, instead of testicles, I just had, like, the fluffy dice because I was touched by the dice gods.
The dice that you hang up in your car, you've just got them.
Exactly. Yeah, yep, that's it. Because, yeah, like, I mean, I shouldn't kill Repulsor in one shot.
Yeah.
I should heavily cripple it. I shouldn't kill it. And I did it twice.
Wow. So two turns in a row, you killed a Repulsor a turn.
Yes. And Luke actually wants me to change my name to 12 damage because every time I had two las cannons go through, I'd roll a 12 or an 11. And wow. He was getting a little annoyed by it. Jeez. But I mean, Luke and I always have great games. We play all the time. He lives just around the corner from me. So we're always playing. I played against him enough. He knows that army really well, backwards and forwards. And he actually, out of the entire event, he was the closest to actually killing all my intercessors.
Nice.
I think I only had somewhere between 8 and 12 left.
Mm.
So, you know, he really put the pressure on me. And we were talking, like, post-game, and there was a few things he could have done differently, but, you know, He really put the smackdown on me. Like, it was a close game for most of it, and then I just kind of slipped away at the end.
Yeah, I was going to say, once you killed the Repulsors, I think I was talking to Luke, and he was saying, against the Marine matchup, because of all the Feel No Pains, the Whirlwinds and Thunderfires don't really kill the opposition's Intercessors or Whirlwinds or Thunderfires. So you start, you get into this weird deadlock where your out of line of sight shooting has to go for like weird targets. So once the Repulsors go down.
I think the thing that annoyed him the most was he spent three turns shooting two Whirlwinds and a Thunderfire cannon into my Thunderfire cannon and not killing it.
Yeah, that hurts.
He kept getting it down to one wound and I'd repair it.
Oh, yeah, it's so swingy. Like, it's so damn swingy. Just because all you need to do is make a few clutch three up saves in cover and then you know, you're good.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, that was day one. Rory loving life with his 3-0. We had some dinner, went back to the boys. You guys had a sick house at Menza, hey?
Oh yeah, it was amazing. It was like
massive Airbnb.
We could play a tournament in the ensuite bathroom.
Shout out to Brian's bathroom. So yeah, essentially pretty much a lot of the guys of all your group that went down booked this massive Airbnb. I reckon it was like a $2 million house.
In Melbourne. Easy.
Like a bunch of bedrooms. And me and Luke were staying like 5 minutes away, like from essentially walking distance from the venue. So we all crashed back at the place Rory and the other guys are staying at, debriefed a bit, had some beers, and then refreshed for round three. Who are you playing, mate? Or for day two, round four. Who are you playing?
I mean, I wouldn't say I was refreshed because I had to share a room with Eric.
I think you're refreshed because you slept more than Eric, though.
No, I definitely didn't.
Oh, really? Shit.
He was already asleep by the time I went back to the bedroom. He was snoring. I decided to sleep on the couch.
That's right. You sent us all a sound clip of Eric snoring. It was great.
Yeah. But yeah, so my first round on Sunday morning was Lee Abbey.
The Bull.
And, you know, it just happened to be the same army that I just versed. The only difference was that... Lee didn't have a captain, and he had an extra whirlwind and an extra thunderfire cannon.
Yeah, okay. So more leaning into the outer line of sight shooting and just relying on that devastated doctrine reroll ones, hey?
Pretty much.
Yeah. How do you approach that one differently to Luke's, or quite kind of similar?
Well, so it was very similar. I made a mistake against Luke. And I made sure I didn't make the same mistake against Lee. Mm-hmm. So I realized that a lot of the shooting that Repulsors put out is only Nick 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I use the Raven Guard Grey Shield.
Oh, man.
So that all my units counted as being in cover. So I was getting 4 ups rather than 5 ups.
Nice.
Which heavily reduced his damage. And as I was saying before, he took Mark for Death against me, which wasn't I'd have to say it's probably not the best thing to pick against with my army, purely because I could do the split, which is what he was hoping I would do. But instead, I stayed together so that he would have to focus his fire and I could just pop either the plus one to my Feel No Pain or make it so he could only wound me on fours.
Yes, okay.
So, which I actually did to him. His first shot with his repulsors, he put everything into one of the Marked for Death squads from the same repulsor. I just went, you can't wound me on better than a four.
Yeah, wow.
And it just mitigated his damage to the point. I think he only killed 1.5 intercessors.
Yeah, I mean, that combined with Grey Shield for Raven Guard is really strong.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. And, you know, similar sort of thing happened in that game as to what happened in Luke's game. I got kind of lucky and killed all three repulsors in the first three turns.
You fucking spastic.
I
was going to say, this is a bit rude. I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I went up to Lee and I was like, hey, how's that game? And he just said one word. All he said was gaped. That's all he said. And I was like, wow, bad.
The way he put it to me was he got to pick the side, but I got to pick what hole to put it in.
Oh, we're not a G-rated podcast. Oh, wow. Classic Lee. That's such a Lee thing to say. Yeah, man. So,
And you know what makes me really happy is when repulses explode.
Oh, it happened
in both games.
Jesus, man.
Happened a little worse for Lee because when his exploded, it killed his warlord. It killed both his Thunderfire cannons and wounded every other character in the vicinity.
Jesus.
Against Luke, I don't remember it actually doing that much damage because I'm pretty sure it exploded like quite far away from everything.
Mm, fair enough. Bloody hell, that's still... Yeah, that D6 damage in your face, like a knight blowing up, man.
Yeah, it's not nice. It's very rough.
Yeah. And when you're paying, you know, all the premiums for characters and the characters literally hold the army together, oof, that hurts.
Yeah. I even took Kingslayer as well because his warlord was a librarian.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, oh, if he perils, I'm going to get some points, so I'll take that. And then, yeah, he ended up just killing him outright with the explosion. So that was helpful for me.
Yeah, that's actually really good. It's a free 3 points. But yeah, exactly. Now, let's talk about your final game with Matt Morazzoli on the top table, because obviously not a Marine matchup. Soli's playing Demons. Soli is, you know, he's a master at this codex. He definitely knows what he's doing. Can you talk about the mission, the deployment, and, you know, how you went about winning against probably one of Australia's top Demons players, man?
I'd have to say he's probably actually the top team demon player, mate.
Yeah, but, I'd agree.
You know, going into the game, I was actually quite worried. Because I know that he knows that codex backwards and front, and I thought maybe, because he knows his codex so well, maybe he knows something that I don't know, and maybe he can use that to his advantage to maybe get the up on me. And you know, he was doing his normal Soli thing, how he's talking up his opponent and I was thinking that he's trying to mind game me. He knows something.
Yeah.
And you know, it really doesn't help when a lot of his attacks just bounced off me. He got quite unlucky with a lot of his attacks. Like he had his Bloodletter bomb drop in and charge 15 scouts and fail to kill 5 of them.
Jesus. Okay.
But it purely because it definitely didn't help that I was able to kill a couple of them on Overwatch, but he rolled a lot of twos to hit me. Which, you know, if I didn't kill any on Overwatch, he would have just massacred those scouts like they were nothing.
Mm.
So, you know, he had to burn CP there to then pile in and fight again. He had Zangors do a similar thing on the other side of the table, except against Intercessors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of bounced off me. Though the one thing he did do that which definitely turned it into a game and not just the slaughter was he killed the Thunderfire cannon straight off the bat.
Nice, man. What did he use to kill them?
He shot all three of the plague mortars from the crawlers into it.
Oh, beautiful.
So if he didn't kill that, it would have made the game so much harder for him.
Oh, you just start tremor shell. Yeah, you tremor up and it's fucked, man.
Exactly. And also just like being able to put extra wounds onto plague bearers. So like he took all the right secondaries, I think. He took engineers.
Mm-hmm.
He put it on the plague bearers, so you know they're quite hard to put down, especially because There was a building on his side of the table. He was able to hide a large percentage of his plague bearers behind.
Mm-hmm.
He took that, and he took recon as well, which he scored every turn for the first four turns.
Yeah, nice. That's a good call there. Especially in, you know, that kind of matchup when you're up against an equally, you know, tough army. You know, the plague is classically quite tough, but then the 50 Iron Hands intercessors are no joke. You want to pick secondaries that aren't really determined by killing your opponents. So stuff like recon, stuff like engineers is really strong there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because someone's got to get ahead somehow. But yeah, man.
There's huge props for Soli. Like, after he did come down and he hit and just kind of hit a brick wall, he lost a lot of steam, but he was still able to score points. And I feel like a lot of other players just wouldn't have been able to do it.
Mm.
They would have seen what happened, and they would have just lost all motivation, just gone, you know, this game's a write-off, and just kind of just threw it away. But he still continued to play as if, you know, he's still trying to get some points.
Yeah.
Because after all, he is playing for podium.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and he did well to push it that far.
Yeah.
But look, you finished the event 5-0. You know, second year on podium, first year winning Mensa. It's an awesome achievement. Now, with Iron Hands getting that that sweet, sweet punch in the dick by the FAQ, how does that change your Iron Hands list?
It actually barely changes my list.
All it changes
very,
is the Dreadnought.
Very little.
Right?
Yep, the Dreadnought's the only thing that gets hit by it, and that's just because I can't make both of them into characters.
Yep.
So, you know, I've been playing around with a few ideas. Dropping the Dreadnoughts, put Leviathan in, because, you know, the unkillable Leviathan's no joke.
Oh, and the Grav Leviathan, or the, is it the Melterlance or the Grav one that just like bulk damage?
I'm actually looking at double Storm Cannon.
Yeah, okay, nice.
Because of the hit of the Ironstone, mm-hmm. I feel like the Storm Cannon now has a lot more play against the Iron Hand mech, because, mm-hmm. you know, they can only do it to one unit. So pumping out 20 strength 7, neg 2s, 2 damage.
Yeah.
Can be a lot of firepower, a lot of damage.
Exactly, man. So
other option, of course, is definitely the double melters, which I've played against Luke before, and it did really well.
Yeah.
And that was pre-nerf, too.
Is that the one that does 5 damage to...
no, vehicles? That's the grab. That's the grab,
yeah.
So the melters, 2d3 shots each, strength 9, neg 4, d6 damage.
Melt mental, man. Yeah, I played Dean Sinbeck with the 5 damage one. He just walked up to a Libby Dread and just... fucking sucker punched it with a melter.
Yeah.
Or with the graph, sorry. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're definitely up there.
Yeah. But
of course, like, there's so many different ideas and different approaches I'm going with. That's one that I really like the look of.
Mm.
But I've got a really nice idea coming up for Overwatch ITC team tournament, which
You don't have to share it, mate. That's okay. I'll be there. And if you share, I'll be getting my notepad out. Don't worry.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think that's probably
We've definitely got some surprises in hand.
Okay. Who's your team for that?
So I've got Matt Morisoli.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Josh McGowan.
Yep.
And Mick Larkin.
Nice, nice. So pretty strong team there. What's that like? 4 ATC players.
pretty much.
Yeah, so that'll be sick, man. I guess
2 ETC players as well.
Yeah, 2 ETCs, yeah, exactly. It's mental. But yeah, I guess in the calendar coming up, we've got Orcfest. What's that, this weekend? You're not playing Orcfest, are you?
No, I'm not.
Yeah. We've got Orcfest coming up. Then we've got Newcastle Teams on the 9th, I believe, of November, which a lot of our guys are going down to as well. What else we got for the rest of the year? We've got... potential masters?
I'm not entirely sure. I know there's HeroCon, but none of our boys are playing in it.
Yeah, I think HeroCon's a doubles event this year.
There is a masters event on at the same time as HeroCon. It's at the same venue as well, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we're starting to wind down after Newcastle, I guess, for the year, and then next year, starting with CanCon and...
Are you going to CanCon?
Yeah, man. We booked our tickets. There's like a good bunch of Queenslanders going. So for anyone listening who has a CanCon ticket, hit us up and we'll do some practice games and stuff. And you know, it'll be a good weekend. But yeah, anything else before we finish, Rory, on this segment?
I don't know.
Any personal shout outs, mate?
Personal shout outs. Well, I mean, there is a lot of inspiration I've taken for that list that I took to Mensa. Definitely a lot from Liam.
Yep.
His Imperial Fist army. Mm-hmm. I definitely got a lot of inspiration from that. Definitely from Chris Wright as well.
Yeah.
Those two are the main ones I'd have to shout out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, definitely shout out to Jeremy Martino. He ran an amazing event. A lot of fun. Great atmosphere. Bunch of great guys.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because there's so many different playing groups, but we go to an event like that and it's still small and close-knit enough to be like a close-knit event, you know? And it just felt like everyone was your best friend when you walked into that gaming room. It was really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I love the Victorian guys, man. They're a bunch of great dudes.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, I played Dean Sinbeck last year, played him again, and it was awesome, man. It was like we hadn't, you know, it's like we'd been seeing each other all year when it'd been like a whole year. So, yeah, it was, it's always sick going down. Anyone who wants to, you know, travel for 40K, Mensa Masquerade is an excellent event to hit up.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, man, thank you for joining us. We'll probably hear from you in future events anyway with these awesome performances you're kicking out. But but yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, have a good one.
Thank you. Turn it up, let it start from block.